Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. Beginning, middle, or end of the year, it's always a great time to take control of your financial life. And the Jill on Money podcast is here to help. Your questions make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money and, more importantly, on your life. Follow and listen to Jill on Money wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, everybody, and happy Tuesday. Jeffrey, you know the same people who brought you Cal in the ACC and Rutgers in the Big Ten and who destroyed the Pac-12 or 10 or whatever the hell it's called, the PAC, whatever that is now. You know those people?
Yes.
I believe they're called TV people, aren't they?
Television executives slash conference commissioners.
Television executives, yes. The same people have come up with the perfect solution to the Memphis South Florida game.
Thank you. Thank you.
The same people have put their big brains together and have come up with the perfect solution. The dilemma, as you know, Jeffrey, is as follows. The dilemma is Memphis scheduled to play at South Florida Friday. South Florida, located in Tampa, University of South Florida, located in Tampa. If you've seen what's heading down there, Milton, this giant-ass hurricane, a hurricane that, if you're on social media, you've probably seen the meteorologist weeping already. Have you seen that one?
Indeed.
Have you seen the weeping meteorologist weeping at the size and ferocity of Milton? And so the mayor of Tampa has said, if you choose to stay, you'll be dead.
Okay.
It was pretty blunt.
All right.
If you're in one of the evacuated areas and you choose to stay, you'll be dead. And so if you look at the highways out of Tampa, gridlock. People evacuating.
So it looks like L.A.
So yeah, obviously, the TV executives, the same people who brought you Rutgers and Maryland in the Big Ten, put their heads together and said, you know what? No one's thought of this. We're probably not going to be able to play that game Friday. Because they're forward-thinking people.
Mm-hmm.
They're forward-thinking people. And let us never forget, they have the best interests of their athletes at heart. Right?
Of course.
So, and I'm sure some of the athletes are probably from the Tampa area and their parents are boarding up homes. And so what they did is they said, life is more important than football. Family's more important than football. Everything's more important than football. And they canceled the game and let people go be with their... No, I'm joking. They didn't do that.
Come on. Then they could owe money.
Come on. They didn't do that. That would be preposterous. They moved the game. You're thinking, oh, they moved it to the Liberty Hole. No, did not live it. They moved it to Charlotte or Tallahassee or somewhere other than Tampa. No, they didn't do that. According to reports, Jeffrey, they moved it to Saturday.
That gave us a little time to clear it out.
They moved it. Yes, if you could move the bodies, move the bodies to the side, we can play this game on Saturday.
That to me screams UCF wasn't giving up the home game.
Because,
I mean, they're trying to win a big game. You gotta coach that.
It's for competitive purposes.
That would be my guess. I mean, I'm speculating, but that's what we do.
Well, I had heard some people saying, if you play it in Memphis, would Memphis give up next year's? No. And the answer to that would be no. If I'm Memphis, I would not flop. In other words, I haven't sold tickets to this game.
Yeah.
You know, next year.
And we haven't been able to sell it as a season ticket package.
Yeah, so. I'm not giving up next year's home game. And so you think it's actually USF, if this is the solution, and by the reporting seems to be that's the solution. Moving it to Saturday. Time Saturday, not yet determined. It's USF not wanting to give up a home game?
That would be my
that would be unconscionable by the part of USF then. Then they're elevating football over. Now, I suppose.
I mean, it's also possible you couldn't find a logistics answer.
Here's the thing. I suppose, so the hurricane's supposed to hit tomorrow night.
Yep.
Right? That's Wednesday night. Although by this time tomorrow, it'll already be whatever. So tomorrow night, hurricane comes through, does its damage. Thursday, you wake up and you see what the damage is.
Yep.
Right? And you say, here's the truth, that there's, they have made this decision. There may be another decision.
Yes.
Right. They've made this decision because they don't want to give up that game in Tampa. And they're just hoping like hell it doesn't do the damage. Because let's be honest, right now it feels laughable because it feels like, oh, let's play a football game in Asheville.
Right.
How would they feel about a football game in Asheville? It's laughable. Laughable. The idea that you would, honestly, among other things, that you would take the first responders, the public servants who are needed to throw a football game, and you would divert them from the work of the municipality, of recovery.
We now have times, by the way. So this is the official announcement from the school. The American Athletic Conference has announced that Friday's scheduled game between Memphis and South Florida has been rescheduled as Hurricane Milton approaches the state of Florida. The game has been rescheduled for Saturday, October 12th at 2:30 p.m. Central Time at Raymond James Stadium. The conference and teams will assess the conditions and overall situations after the storm has passed to determine if further adjustments are necessary.
There you go. They're just hoping it's not that bad.
Yeah.
Hoping it's not that bad. And if it is that bad, they'll cancel the game.
I mean, was it a UCF game? I know we've had some move for a hurricane, but I think one year there was just a game that was straight up not rescheduled because they couldn't find a date.
They've both had their.
I think this is a 2-bye week year, though.
It's a 2-bye week year.
Yeah.
Is that true?
Yeah.
I did see that someone said, if you don't, this is math, Jeffrey. You have to help me here, okay?
All right.
Winning percentage is the first tiebreaker or something like that, right? Whatever in the events of a tiebreaker.
Yep.
And if you take away a win, if you take away, you change the lower number and your winning percentage automatically goes. This could desperately cost, again, it's the world of football, not in the world of life and death. This could cost Memphis ultimately in the standings. If it's clearly better to have a win than a no contest, right?
Yes.
In terms of win percentage, so you do want them to play the game. Obviously, if you still have hopes of that. But it's pretty clear they're making this decision to postpone everything, to put it off, and then they'll make another decision Thursday morning.
Yes.
And
I mean, in fairness, what if the storm doesn't even really hit Tampa?
Right,
you know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. But and Memphis won't fly out till Friday. And so by then they will know. Right.
Yes.
By then they will know. So that's it seems like a totally laughable solution. In fact, they obviously won't play it in the midst of devastation. Right.
Yeah.
They're not going to play a game in the midst of devastation. So we will hope and pray. For because we care about humanity, that the thing is not as bad as advertised. And if it is, we'll assume they won't play the game, or certainly won't play it Saturday in Tampa. I think that's fair to say. By the way, Saturday is also Yom Kippur, and interestingly, Ryan Silverfield, who is Jewish, I don't know that he, you're not supposed to work on Yom Kippur, right?
Right.
I mean, if you're being observant, I don't know how observant Ryan Silverfield is. He doesn't talk a lot about being Jewish, just whatever. It's not part of his public persona, right? It's not a big thing for him. But he is this Saturday. He's going to miss the game because he's scheduled to be speaking at Temple Israel on what being Jewish means to me. led by Rabbi Micah Greenstein, with Coach Ryan Silverfield, Diane Sachs, and Eleanor Tally Steinberg. That's at 2:30. What time's kickoff?
That would be 2:30.
I think we got a conflict here. Pretty clearly have a conflict here. So, but yeah, if in the end he's going to be coaching on the holiest day of the year, I guess it's scheduled today. As it's scheduled today. Thursday, he may well be at Temple Israel right. Saturday. May well be at Temple Israel Saturday. He may well be at Tampa Saturday. Yes. But that is the at least tentative, I think we can say tentative plan at this point. Today on the radio show, let's see. We got Chris Harrington straight up at 10 o'clock. And we got Fish on Friday on Tuesday. Now, that's in addition to being our man in Washington, D.C., Fishman grew up in Florida. So he is an expert on so many things, Jeffrey. Walmart, space,
water,
among them. Also an expert on hurricanes. And so we'll talk to Fishman about that and other matters. We'll do that in the second hour. So we got Chris Harrington straight up at 10 o'clock and Fish on Friday on Tuesday after that. I'll be honest. John was outraged that they didn't make a decision yesterday. I just didn't. Nothing mattered. Like, nothing changed. You know what I mean? Like, there was no reason they had to make the decision yesterday as opposed to today. You know, whatever. They're getting as much information as they can. And what they're doing now is postponing this to get as much information as they can as well. And I think they probably know that there's a very little likelihood that this game is going to be played. Breaking news.
From Adam Schefter, Jets informed Robert Saleh of their decision minutes ago.
Firing him.
ESPN sources, Jets fired Robert Saleh.
Wow. Wow.
Rodgers wins again.
He pushes him out. They just love each other. That's what was happening the other day when is it Saleh? They were, when was the hug?
The hug was 2 games ago.
The hug was 2 games ago.
No, the hug was after the Patriots game.
Game they won.
Correct.
During the Thursday Patriots night game when they were up 2 touchdowns early, and Saleh went to hug him, and Rodgers was having none of it. Don't tell me. Nathaniel Hackett is the interim head coach?
So I've not seen anything about the interim yet. You cannot do that.
You cannot do that. That is puppeteering. Yeah. So we have a lot to talk about. We have a lot to talk about today, including the Jets news. It is amazing. The East is totally. What do we have now? The AFC East. We got talk in New England of an insurrection.
Correct.
Right. And
potential mutiny. I believe was the word.
Potential mutiny in New England, and just a god awful team and a quarterback controversy. Right.
Yes.
In Miami, you've got the star quarterback out for who knows, maybe for his career.
Yeah.
And just disastrous play in the wake of it with no functional quarterbacking.
Yes. Right?
No functional quarterback.
They are a tough watch.
And then you've got the Jets who have been mired in controversy from the moment that Aaron Rodgers walked through that door. Mired in controversy, including this offseason when he blew off the mandatory minicamp.
He was at the other 12.
And now, and they get off to a rocky start, throws a pick six and another pick this week. And so the defensive head coach has to pay the price, and he is canned. You do wonder, when are we going to get the Robert Saleh unvarnished version of what a pain in the ass Aaron Rodgers is?
Oh, soon.
You think we will?
Oh, yeah. Rossini's already all over that.
He's going to crush him. Saleh's going to crush him.
I would suspect. I mean, that's the great thing about when the Jets get dysfunctional and whatnot. Like, there's always people.
But is Devontae Parker next, too?
I don't know. The other thing I was looking at, I just looked at the Jets coaching staff. Nathaniel Hackett, from just a quick glance, is the only person
who
that has head coaching experience. Now, is this...
What's their schedule? Who do the Jets
have?
Well,
that's
have
what next? I have great
news for you. The Bills, Monday.
Yes, Monday night.
Son Ben is going to be there. He's going with three Jets fans, though. That's a problem. That's a lot of emotion. You're opening yourself up to some real emotional damage there if they lose.
All right.
That game.
So then the following week they're at Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
At New England. Texans at home.
Uh huh.
At the Cardinals.
It's manageable.
Colts.
Totally manageable.
Then it's their bye week. Seahawks. At the Dolphins, at the Jags,
God,
Rams.
God, they got an easy schedule.
At the Bills, Dolphins.
Really? They got kind of a cake schedule. They got a totally manageable schedule.
Fourth place schedule, right? No, we're the Pats. They were third place schedule.
Anyway, so we got that news as well to talk about. Back to this Memphis thing. Are you, where are you on this?
So I didn't feel like, oh, they should be talking yesterday, I assumed that they were trying to figure out a logistical solution.
Right.
And I'm
sure they were talking about it all day yesterday.
Oh, yeah, you know,
and no one, I don't think anyone was particularly disadvantaged by the fact that they waited a day to now announce it. Like, who? Like, I don't think anyone was disadvantaged by the delay. People thought maybe it was disrespectful. I guess some people just thought the delay was disrespectful, not to just cancel it immediately. And maybe that people are thinking this is disrespectful. I just think they don't have another solution.
Any answer
is going to
be disrespectful.
So they're just hoping the solution is, let's pray for the best.
Yeah.
Right? So there you go. All right. Busy day today. Very busy day
Happy
today.
Tuesday.
Yeah. You know what? The Grizzlies won. You know what? Crank up the music. We haven't played winning music in a long time. And I'll be honest, Jeffrey, at the end of last year, when they would win a game, I don't think our heart was in it.
No, it definitely wasn't. Mine certainly wasn't.
I mean, I wasn't rooting for losses. It wasn't lottery.
Well, I was.
But you were. But it was, we weren't selling. They were not building towards anything in particular. And so they was just
it was a
survival.
Complete lost year, so get the best possible pick.
Yeah. So so this was fun last night. And the Grizz win. Now, mind you, they won over a team wearing Mavs uniforms.
Mm-hmm.
No Luka. No Kyrie. No Clay. Hell, no P.J. Washington.
Yeah.
Like, there was nobody who played for that team.
Derek Lively.
Derek Lively did play. Yes, he did. But we got to see some things. Let's start with Jake banging in a three.
Right wing, LaRavia gets an open look at a three. Ring it up. Put three on the board. Good push and kick to the right side. And LaRavia buries the three. A 7-0 Grizzlies run. Has broken a 10-all tie, and it's 17-10 Grizz.
And this is opportunity meets confidence, and Jake LaRavia is stepping into both of them tonight.
Jake was 2 of 3 from 3, 14 points. Looked good.
Yes, he did.
Didn't you think?
Yes, I think this is a continuation of the summer. It's like he looks like he belongs on the floor.
In terms of, like, players I'm rooting for, I mean, I'm rooting for Memphis. I'm rooting for all of them, right? But then the stories that I like, the Zach Edey one is top of the list, right? Because he's got the haters out there, and he's fun, and you need him to be great.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, of course, John, all that. But Jake LaRavia, because he was dismissed as an irrelevancy and a bust.
Yeah.
Right? To see him reclaiming his career, it's kind of fun.
Totally agree.
Plus, shooter, you know? Anyway, Jake was good. More threes.
Smart. Goes back to his left between his legs. Drives into the paint. Right corner feed for Kennard. Fires the three. Ring it up. Put three on the board. Luke Kennard with that sweet left-handed stroke. Breaks the 27 all tie. And the Grizzlies lead 30 to 27 as they bury another triple here in the first. That is now five in the first quarter for the Grizz.
What's amazing is the bench was like lights out from three. The starters were less so. In fact, Dez was one of eight from three. But then Jake was two of three from three. Kennard was two of five. Scotty was two of two from three.
Well,
Brandon Clark was two of five from three. Wells was three of five from three. They put up a bunch of them. They put up 41 threes, which is, as Drew Hill points out in his piece today on this tilt in the Daily Memphian, three more than on average last year. Anyway, there's Luke with one. And then the moment we were waiting for, here it is, as called by the great Eric.
Morant drives left baseline, lobs into the lane, and Edie flushes it home. There is the value of Zach Edey trailing down the middle. Morant saw it, just threw it up, and the big man went and got it.
That was a beautiful thing.
Yes, it was.
Wasn't that a beautiful thing?
I watched that highlight many, many times.
Many, many times. And it was interesting because that highlight went, you know, it felt like the whole country saw that highlight. If they weren't watching Milton, they were watching Zach Edey, first alley-oop from Ja, right? Yeah. First of many. And
there was a Monday night game as well.
And there was a Monday night game as well. So, yeah, but it's that irritating Chiefs team with that irritating singer, and I become whatever. I like Taylor Swift. It's the Chiefs I don't like.
You've had enough.
So, it's the Chiefs I don't like. So, anyway, on social media, that clip over and over again. And I did see people, even Purdue fans, saying, when did he learn to jump? You know, he did look slim. Didn't you think he looks slim? Looks in good shape?
Yeah, didn't we get some reports from that from last week?
Yes, we did.
Yeah.
He definitely had reports that he'd lost weight. Now, he picked up the two quick fouls and presumably, and he ultimately got five. In a real game, he would have sat down, you imagine, pretty quickly. They let him play through it. 6 points, seven rebounds. The block was good, too.
Yeah.
Block was good, triggered a fast break, and I don't think he's familiar with fouls because they didn't call fouls on him at Purdue, right? So it'll be a learning.
What is this new experience?
It'll be a learning curve for him.
What was that?
What the hell is that? You're not supposed to do that. It'll be a bit of a learning curve. Anyway, that was fun to see. We mentioned that Scottie Pippen was good. Here he is.
Rebounded by Kennard, and here come the Grizz. 8:34 remain in the first half. Kennard spins on the right wing. Kicks left sideline Pippen. He'll fire the three. Ring it up. Put three on the board, and we got a foul. Is it a four-point play opportunity for Scottie Pippen Jr.? It sure is.
Yeah, he missed the free throw. But still, 2 of 2 from three. Looked good. Honestly, like a bunch of the guys, it was interesting because you're playing without Vince, without Jaren, and without Gigi. Now, mind you, again, you're playing the team that resembles the Mavs, right? So, but given that, like, their deep bench looked credible. The Grizzlies, you know, you got Jake playing well, you got Scotty playing well, you got Jalen Wells playing well. Like, the deep bench looked credible on the Grizzlies.
Yeah, the only thing I was questioning is, like, the guys that played summer league clearly were, like, I thought, ready to go. The only question is, like, who are those Mavericks guys? Like, was that just
that's the problem, a
competition? But I totally agree with you. Those were the guys that really, like, kind of finished the game.
Well, I mean, you know, all this is in the wake of, again, whatever. One preseason game does not. But you're reading, Hollinger believes that the Grizzlies are going to underachieve their win total, largely based on their, quote-unquote, meh bench. Yeah. Right,
vanilla, I think was his term. Yeah,
it looked pretty good last night, even though it was much shallower than presumably it will ultimately be. Ja Morant is absolutely electric. More on the injury and Ja in a moment, but here he is.
Here's Morant in transition. Drives in it. Grimes gets tripped up. Forces it up into the bucket and in. He'll get one more. What a shot by Ja Morant after the contact, able to float it up and in. And he'll get a chance at a three-point play. Grizzlies up one, could go up two, as Morant gets his second field goal of the night, his eighth point.
The block, it's just like, that dude is so electric. He is so much fun. the block was crazy. I honestly, and of course he tweaked his ankle because they threw the ball at his ankle, Jeffrey.
Mm-hmm.
And then another one on the comes back in, which surprised me to begin with.
Yeah,
and then tweaks it again on the dunk, calls timeout. We did get word afterwards, both from Tim McMahon and then from Jai himself, saying it was fine, just a tweak. Taylor Jenkins also reiterated that. So you don't have to hold your breath, Grizz fans. He seems fine. 18 minutes, 13 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists. The problem, like, the way he plays, I don't understand why he didn't get hurt every, like, you know what I mean? Like, he is so high-flying and so electric. It does feel like this is not going to be the first ankle he's going to tweak this year. The last ankle he's going to tweak this year. Does that not, am I correct to say that?
You know which way I would bet.
Yeah. Anyway, he's fine. He's fine. The aforementioned Jalen Wells.
Kicks it back out. Conchar, one more to Wells. The rookie launches. Ring it up. Put 3 on the board. Welcome to the Grizzlies, Jalen Wells.
Great shot right there. He's a good-looking athlete as well, too, man. He's legitimately 6'7", 6'8", and he can knock the shot down.
And he can put the shot up, too. he put up 11
not
shots.
Not afraid to fire.
13 points in the fourth. But he looked good. Yuki got a 3.
LaRavia finds Kalamura, left corner 3. Ring it up for Yuki.
And all
199, Yuki Kalamura. First shot in an NBA game is a corner 3 to put the Grizzlies up.
And all of Japan
celebrates.
He has a strong cheering section, too, behind the Grizzlies bench, man.
Jake's not just from distance, but from up really, really close.
Mavericks miss a running layup. Wells back the other way. Hangs, misses the floater. Followed jam by Jake LaRavia. And LaRavia with the last 4 for the Grizzlies. 2 from the line and 2 on a stick back dunk. Puts the Grizzlies up by 6, 113-107.
And we'll wrap this up with one more from Jalen Wells.
Screen on his left from Huff. Comes around the screen. Looking for help. Gives it for Wells. Wells, with the shot clock ticking down, fires a 3 and buries it. Ring it up. Put 3 on the board and put the lights out in Dallas tonight.
Grizz win. Grizz win. Grizz win. I just think we're going to have a lot of these this year. A lot of wins. A lot of wins.
I hope so. It's way more fun.
It is so much more fun. I don't know if people have noticed that before, but it is so much more fun when you win. Okay, so we talked about Zach Edey. We talked about Ja and his injury. We talked about some of the deep bench and the newcomers. How about the offense?
So sloppy, the turnovers. Now
26 second chance points. Given up. Yes. A lot of turnover. No, they scored 26 seconds. I mean, I'm sorry. 23 turnovers is the number.
And they gave up 30 off of them.
Yeah.
So the question for me
they
is.
They scored 26 second chance points and did have 14 offensive rebounds. So they're trying to get it back on the other end. But yes, sloppy, 23 turnovers.
And to me, it's like the Mavericks are a team that forces a lot of turnovers. Like that's part of their identity. But how much of that is the Mavericks? How much of that is the Grizzlies working on something? Is this indeed a new offense? I mean, we saw the play where Ja kind of had like the backdoor cut when he was off the ball. I mean, that was, it's just, I feel like I'm at the point with the new offense. Let me get to like 10 games in and see if there is some type of noticeable difference, because the thing about preseason is they could have just been choosing to like work on something specific. So you just never really know what the actual like mindset was.
Yeah, it did feel like there were moments they were unveiling something that looked different, right?
Yeah.
As Drew described it in his piece, wildly energetic offensive sets mixed with blistering pace and hot potato ball movement. Nicely crafted there, Drew. Wildly energetic offensive sets mixed with blistering pace and hot potato ball movement. You certainly saw some of that, right? You saw some of that throughout the game. It did look, at moments, it did look different. It also looked sloppy at moments. And so we'll see how those things coalesce But that's it. Grizzlies, they got Charlotte here on Thursday. And so that's when preseason will continue. All right, we got a lot more to get to. We'll dig more into this Robert Sala dismissal. Jets have a new
Yes, they do. They announced it was the is it the special teams coach? It's not going to be Nathaniel Hackett.
It's not going to be Nathaniel Hackett.
It's going to be.
We'll discuss that and more when we
Jeff Olbrich.
When we return, Chris Harrington talked to us about the Grizzlies straight up 10 o'clock, and then Fish on Friday. After that, if you're thinking about a new financial institution, I would urge you to take a look at Leaders Credit Union for a whole lot of reasons. But like right now, they have a 4.75 APY certificate special, 11-month certificate special, 4.75 APY. You can save money, build your savings, and build wealth. Or how about this? The 4% APY forward plus high yield savings account. This one, no balance tiers, minimums, or requirements. Dividends pay monthly. Again, Leaders, which has a branch in Bartlett, another one opening soon in Arlington. And honestly, the technology is like wizardry, so you don't need to walk into a bank branch. You just download the app and sign up. Because they are a credit union, they don't have shareholders to pay off or whatever else. They literally every dollar they get, they pour back into these better rates, into better technology, into better service. It's why I opened an account. Claire and I opened an account with Leaders. To learn more, go to leaderscu.com/ESPN. leaderscu.com/ESPN. Back in a moment. Jeff Calkins, your 92.9 FM ESPN.
What's up, little psychos? I'm Investigator Slater, host of the Psychopedia podcast. Psychopedia is a true crime podcast delivering raw, real, and absolutely gripping episodes every single week. I dig deep to uncover fascinating details of heinous true crime cases while exploring criminology and psychology theories. I take you into the absolute darkest corners of the human psyche, my favorite territory, and present cases like you've never heard them before. Follow and listen to Psychopedia everywhere you get your podcasts.
All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show. In case you missed it, the Memphis football game scheduled for Friday night at South Florida has been moved to Saturday at 2:30. 2:30 Central. 2:30 Central, Jeffrey?
Yes, sir.
2:30 Central. Also at South Florida. And if you are skeptical that they will be able to play that game in South Florida in the wake of Milton, join the club. Indeed, they probably are skeptical too, right?
They clearly included in the statement.
We will reassess. So I don't think they're under any illusions. Here's the problem, though, Jeffrey. If it is interesting, like so you take those players from South Florida, right? What are they doing? You're supposed to evacuate Tampa.
Yeah, I don't know. Did they go somewhere as a team?
Are they just sitting there practicing through the storm is bearing down upon them?
Well, no. We saw the Bucs just went to New Orleans. Right. I don't know. I haven't heard any reports
that South Florida's left. If they left, would they be able to get back?
I don't know, because I know the school canceled
And what happens? You got to imagine that a good chunk of them are actually from Florida, right?
Wouldn't you imagine that
a lot of them are from Florida? And so you're going to have them in there practicing while their families are battering up their houses and stuff like that? Honestly, this does feel like, and I know this makes me sound like a lefty pinko, whatever, it does feel like at a moment to say that there are things more important than football, doesn't it? With the world's largest hurricane ever bearing down upon you?
Yes, but at the same time, you know what I mean? I don't really know what all's going into their decisions. To be clear, I don't even know where they are.
I don't know where they are either. If anyone knows where they are, let us know. Where's the football
Listen,
team?
Listen, I love judging people and their decisions, but I need to at least know what the decision was.
I'm the same. I'd like to know where they are. But what we do know is maybe they were told to go home and help your families and reconvene later. I suppose that's possible. Seems unlikely if they're planning on playing the game Saturday. But maybe they were told to go home as well, and then everyone will reassess. I agree. It's you don't want to judge people without knowing.
Again, if I knew, I would be like fully capable of doing so. I just don't know because I haven't seen anything. All I've seen is that USF has canceled all on-campus activity, I believe, through Thursday.
Have they canceled? Is the football team practicing? Okay, let me ask you this. Hypothetically, if the football team was practicing, would you be judgmental of them practicing?
I mean, are they practicing in Tampa?
Yeah, like, yeah, they're in Tampa. They're practicing. Hypothetical. This is a hypothetical.
Did they take a team vote?
I think they shouldn't be practicing. I think they should be dismissed. If everyone else is freaking okay, I'll say this. I think they should be. They should. If everyone else is getting the hell out of there, they should be getting the hell out of there. And if everyone else is, and they should be allowed to go home and be with their families, be told to go home and be with their families. I'll put it in my situation. If I lived in Tampa and my kids were playing for USF, I'd be worried about them, right? And I would want to have them with me. I would. Whatever. But we'll see. We'll see what happens. Oh, speaking of, just while we're talking about how out of whack all this stuff can get, Penn State's playing
USC
this week. And so James Franklin had a press conference where he was there. They're leaving on Thursday because they have the best interest of the student athletes at heart. So they're leaving Thursday. The truth of the matter is, everything's online now anyway, right? Aren't classes? Does anyone even go to class anymore? So they're leaving Thursday because they have to drive to Harrisburg and fly out of Harrisburg. Here's why. Listen to James Franklin. Oh, my God. We need some boosters to
step up. He's about to get a new airport in State College.
They're going to get a new airport. All right, that's enough of that. They among the other things you need for your football program, a bigger airport. Now, R.C. Johnson was ahead of the curve on this. He said one of the big recruiting strengths of the University of Memphis once upon a time was the airport, and people laughed. People laughed! He was ahead of the curve!
In fairness, we were a Northwest Airlines hub at that time.
And that's exactly made the huge difference.
We did have 275 flights a day.
That's exactly right. That is, in fact, it was an asset for the community.
We had directs to just about everywhere.
Everywhere. You could get on a plane.
It was the best.
And you could land. And now, people would then complain about the prices, but you could fly anywhere without connecting.
Yeah, that was something. Think about, we complained about the price at the time. It was like $400 a
flight.
Anyway,
now you have a situation where at Penn State, they're going to build a new airport for the football team. They're going to build a new runway. Extend a runway for the football team. The whole thing is totally out of whack, Jeffrey. Totally out of whack. Other college football news before we get to other matters. The House settlement.
Yes.
Preliminary approval from the judge. But we don't know much in the way of details other than, it is amazing, $2.8 billion in damages. $2.8 billion in damages, 90% of which will go to former football and basketball players. If you accept any money, so there's objections, like, female athletes are objecting to this, right? They have objected to this on Title IX grounds, right? And but if you accept any money at all, you're gonna sign off your right.
You
to
waive
sue.
Your rights.
You
yeah.
waive your right to sue. So there may be, who knows? There may be future lawsuits there. In addition, so this will also, and this is formal approval right now is set for April 7th, which is weirdly enough the day of the championship game in. NCAA championship game.
Monday of Final Four.
That's the Final Four. Yeah, that's when the judge is supposed to sign off on this once and for all. Once she signs off on it, once this goes through, it will permit schools to pay up to $20 million a year, appears to be the initial number in direct payments to athletes. Also, there are going to be restrictions on the collectives, but I don't know what those will look like.
I don't know how they're enforceable, but...
And I haven't seen whatever, but there is going to be evidently room for some restrictions on the collectives. So that happened yesterday. Also yesterday, the Paul Feinbaum show, which doesn't feel like the cultural touchstone it once was.
Generally. No, it's been neutered by ESPN.
Is that why?
Yes. 100%.
What happens? Do they not take the crazy call?
No, they still... I mean, if you want me to, I can get Legends Call.
Legends Call. Well, it was so great.
It's because it's an ESPN product. It's just so much.
But also,
more. Like the heyday of it is at WJOX.
It is the Paul Feinbaum show is not the cultural touchstone that it once was, and among other things, crazy Alabama callers on a day like yesterday.
Oh, this is what I used to live for.
Beautiful.
No, I told the story yesterday. They started simulcasting the Feinbaum show when I was in college on Sirius.
Yeah.
And when you're in California, you care about SEC football. You're one of like seven people.
Yeah, it's like home cooking.
I would drive around. After this type of day, yeah, I would drive around just to hear.
What's
like,
funny is that normally in media, people think you're rooting for or against or whatever else, and you're just really usually not. Or if you are, it's whatever. Maybe you want the team to lose because your wife's pregnant, or you know what I mean,
sure.
Or something you want to go.
It's usually all what helps
something
me.
Else in your life, yeah. Whatever else. Weirdly enough, for Feinbaum, it really is better for him when Alabama loses.
Oh yeah,
you know what I mean.
Well, it's best for him when Alabama and Auburn are both maxed out and good.
I suppose that's right. So do we have this call? So
oh, yeah.
We have this call yesterday, which was just it was. The Feinbaum experience at its richest and most delightful.
This was a touch from nostalgia.
This was the good old days.
This is how it used to be.
And you know what? I think every fan base can enjoy this, and Vandy fans can enjoy this because they inflicted this upon the Alabama faithful. Here is the call.
You know what this is equivalent to, brother? You know what this is equivalent to?
What's that?
This is equivalent to coming home and finding your wife in bed with the neighbor. This is what this is equivalent to, Paul. And I say this for this. Me and K-Dub both agree. You could never trust her again. You might stay with her for the kid's sake, but you could never trust the woman again. And the same thing's true with Coach the Boy. You can win a natty. We can't trust your ass now. You just proved that you can beat the best and lose to the worst in a two-week friggin' period. You don't lose to Vanderbilt. That's the ugliest little sister on the block. You don't lose to Vanderbilt. You just don't friggin' do it, dude. You know what this...
And it went on and on and on. It was something else. Also from the University of Alabama, Malachi Moore has apologized, Jeffrey, for his behavior in the wake of the loss to Vanderbilt. Did you think he should be suspended?
Yes, I did.
He obviously shoved Pavia's head, throws his mouthpiece, kicks the football, and then when the coaches are trying to sub him out, does not come out. And so what was interesting is the criticism here is less directed at Malachi Moore that I've seen than it has been directed at Kalen DeBoer for Malachi Moore never would have done this under Saban and never would have refused to come out. That would be unacceptable. In fact, Damian Harris, former running back from Alabama, part of two national championship teams at Alabama, he was on a podcast and says, I can tell you what would have happened in the days that I was there. We would have tried to rip the C off his jersey. He's a captain. We would have lit him up from every coach, every player. Everyone would have been on this dude's head like, we don't do that. And instead, Kalen DeBoer said of Malachi Moore, he has had my back and our back since day one. He's obviously a player who was played under Saban, who stayed and who bought in. And so... And sort of led the group of those who bought
in. And their secondary is very young, and
right.
he's
He has had my back and our back since day one. There comes a point, too, where sometimes as things play out, you've got to have your guys back as well and understand we all make mistakes and we all have just got to own up to it. I think the thing I want to make sure Bama fans know is that this guy has been rock solid and been a critical piece, along with others. There were others as well, of keeping this thing together since January. Okay? When a lot of guys chose to leave, this guy stood firm. This guy loves Alabama football. So there you go. Do you think Kalen DeBoer is? I don't care. To me, this is much ado about nothing. In the end, Alabama's season will be what Alabama's season is, not because Kalen DeBoer is soft because he didn't suspend Malachi Moore. Hell, we have another arrest at Georgia this morning.
Yeah.
You see this, Jeffrey? Who was arrested at Georgia this morning?
It was like another freshman.
And it was
for? It was a misdemeanor, but it was like assault.
Assault on an unborn child.
Yeah.
That's a good one to have to be able to rack up, Georgia. Nicely done. Maybe that's a new one on the card for them. Assault on an unborn child. Probably have to run steps.
Yeah. It'll be handled internally.
So I didn't care about I didn't particularly care about that. I just enjoy all the drama. I enjoy all the drama of all of that. We did have an NFL game last night, Jeff. It is kind of amazing. They just win. They just freaking win. They don't even look that awesome, and they just win. And they win, by the way, with like Kareem Hunt brought back off the
ghost
trash
of Juju Smith-Schuster.
And Juju Smith-Schuster, you had Kareem Hunt with 27 carries. Hey, we're going to bring you back, but we're going to beat the hell out of you. 27 carries, 102 yards. And Juju Smith-Schuster, again, a discard, 7 catches, 130 yards. They just win. And the truth is the defense is terrific.
Yeah, I think that's kind of what we've so much focus on Mahomes' offense because, you know, that's kind of been like the hallmark and what has defined them. I think what we always leave out of the discussion, their greatness in particular the last 2 years.
Has been defensive.
The defense is awesome.
And then you have a quarterback who just is able to manipulate the situation to get enough points,
yes.
No matter who he has around him. And he does, by the way, he has Travis Kelce doing Travis Kelce things, right? And that certainly helps. It's unbelievable to me how Travis Kelce can get as open as he gets. Knowing how important he is to that. It's not unlike what the Pats used to do.
Yes. That's the problem is
We're just reliving this.
Yes.
A guy who's a quarterback who manipulates the situation, has full control over everything, has whatever talent around him, has a tight end he can go to, and a brilliant head coach, and a defense that
is awesome,
and a kicker who's awesome.
Yeah. He did miss last night, though.
Yes, he did. Yeah, that's true. He did miss, so that was good. And then we got the Jets. Obviously, that's the other news of the day. Robert Saleh was Aaron Rodgers fired. Robert Saleh, I guess, on the plane ride back from London. It's now trickling out. So I don't know how Rodgers gave him the bad news. It's tough when you're a quarterback. It's the toughest thing for a quarterback
to juggle.
When you got to look into someone's eyes and say, we got to make a change here. When a quarterback has to do that, Penny had to go through that in Orlando once. He had to make a coaching change. Brian Hill.
Yeah,
he had to dismiss Brian Hill.
You hate when this has to happen,
and you hate it when.
Mark had to dismiss David Fizdale.
Mark had to, and we saw Magic had to make a change in L.A. once upon a time. Del Harris, I believe, he canned. This is part of responsibility of being a...
Jordan fired Doug Collins, right?
And I think Jordan fired Doug Collins.
Yeah.
Here's the thing, though.
It's tough.
Here's the thing. Those players who we're talking about were peak of powers players. This is a desperate, fading player who just threw a pick six to put your team behind and another pick to end the game. And you fire the head coach? Like, you're telling me, Jeffrey, like...
Well, now they can get everybody on the same page.
Who's he going to blame? Who's he going to blame? Who's he going to blame? There's always been, receiver's not on the same page. It's offensive line. It's protection didn't hold up. It's route running. It's whatever else. Now, the ultimate scapegoat is Robert Saleh, although you do believe not just the scapegoat, part of the problem.
Yeah, I also don't think he's a good coach. I think he's one of the more overrated coaches. He's the classic defensive coordinator that's a head coach, and their defense is good, but their defense has never been as elite as they try to portray it. And he, like, takes pride in that. It's like, there's two sides of the ball, man, and you're losing games.
And the stuff they did with the quarterback last year was just heinous.
Yes.
The stuff with the...
It was just so he could blame the quarterback.
Yeah. Paul Westhead, I'm told. Magic got rid of Paul Westhead instead of Del Harris.
I mean, like, look at what Tomlin does. Like, Tomlin's gotten functional quarterback play out of the guy that's now at Tennessee, Mason Rudolph. I mean, yeah... Right. What, Justin Fields wasn't awesome on Sunday night, but he's been very good. Like look at the coaches that good coaches find ways to take something and at least get something out of it.
Del Harris, by the way, was fired for a fatal, fatal mistake that he made. He lost to the Vancouver Grizzlies.
Yeah.
He lost to the Vancouver Grizzlies, and that was it. Last game, Del Harris.
Would that be a lesson to
last game,
Caleb DeBoer?
It was different. Anyway. We got a busy second hour. We got Chris Harrington straight up at 10 o'clock, and we got Fish on Friday on Tuesday after that. If you're selling your house, call Josh Hysaw. Simple as that. 901-461-8147. 901-461-8147. More than 300 five-star Google reviews, so you don't have to take my word for it. It's Josh and his team at Keller Williams Realty. And among other things they do, Josh knows how to market. Josh absolutely knows how to market. So Jody, I mean, you hear him marketing his services right here on this radio station. He's equally aggressive when he's marketing your house because that's the bread and butter of what he does. So Jody calls him. She hears us on the radio talking about it, gives him a call, wonders how good could this be. Within a week, she had 8 offers. And right now I'm seeing this. Everywhere I go, I see for sale signs sitting on just every week. There they are. My neighbor, honestly, has one for sale sign. And what you want is someone who knows how to market your house. What you want is Josh Hysaw. Phone number again, 901-461-8147, or joshhasthebuyers.com. Chris Harrington on the other side. It's Jeff Gawkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Looking for something smart, soulful, and full of heart? I'm Jen Hatmaker, host of For the Love, the podcast where we talk about what really matters. Love and family, faith and purpose. Every week, I'm joined by incredible guests for honest conversations that invite all of us to live with more intention, more laughter, and more connection. Join us on For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.